Welcome back to Chasing the Past. This is Bob DeGree, and I'm chasing the past with Mr. Andy Sacker. And we've gone through quite the journey, and we're coming up to...
It's not over yet, Bob.
I know. We're coming up to the what could only be perceived as the climax and the afterglow. Welcome, Andy Sacker. And so where were we? Where did we leave off? We left off with...
I'm talking about Breakaway.
Yeah.
And I kind of forgot about... let me see. Was this simultaneous? During the Breakaway time, another band started, and this was formed around... So funny, it often seems to be a banjo player, as we've been talking about Gordon. But this is about a banjo player named Bob Yellen. Having a little problem, a little technical
difficulty
issues here with the videographer is screwing up, not doing his job properly. Bob Yellen was, and I mentioned him in the first early part of our talk. He was in a band called the Greenbrier Boys, which was the famous as the first band of northern urban guys who played bluegrass and played it well. And even Jimmy Martin, on hearing Bob Yellen play, said, "That's a good banjo picker."
Wow.
And he was a really solid player. And but Yellen moved up here sometime in the early 80s, and he was not playing with a band, I think, at all. And he had an engineering degree, and he was working for Champlain Cable, which is a company that makes very high-end cables, like cables for... They control aircraft navigation things, that kind of stuff. I mean, super cables, and he was selling them, you know, with his engineering background. I guess that's what they need in a salesman. And he would make trips to Taiwan and, you know, to do sales and things like that. Anyway, we put together a band. Yellen and old friends, Mark Greenberg, the guitar, and I mentioned him, my old friend from back in Chicago from the Lake Country String Band, and Willie Lindner, excellent mandolinist, singer, and he played bass, and Danny Mahoney, who I mentioned, on the dobro, and... 1, 2, 3, 4. Is that five of us? Yeah.
Sounds like a super band.
It was good, and Yellen was. We got a fair amount of gigs, you know, just based on Yellen's name, because he was a kind of a famous bluegrass person, a person of note, and. So it was a pretty busy time for me, because I was playing with them, and actually also in the late 80s I was also playing in a trio with Mary McGinnis and Ellen Powell on bass, and Mary is a guitar player, songwriter. She plays mandolin too, a little bit, and great songwriter. She's still doing it, still writing songs. She's got a band called the Selkies. And but we had a trio, and we were working a bunch. I was in three bands simultaneously for a while.
Oh.
While still working a full-time job. So it was busy.
So was it that the time that I'm probably wrong on this. Did you and Bob Yellen buy a music store together?
We did. We did. We did. We bought out Boyd's. He was selling his business, and So we did it, and completely revamped the store, which is right in between Mirabelle's and Mr. Mike's Pizza, right there. That was Calliope Music, and but we split up, and it was not a great partnership, and I should have probably known better than.
Well, we all learn from our experiences in life, right?
Yeah, but we were not compatible in terms of being partners, and I was unhappy. So,
so at that time, you were playing with him, and you were playing with Breakaway, and you were playing with Mary.
Yeah.
Wow, how did you even find time to have a life?
Trying to eat my cereal for breakfast. Hardly had time. That was fine. I don't know. I think my wife at that time, Betty. I think she probably might have preferred that I wasn't busy, but I think she really didn't mind, because she liked working on her own stuff, which was writing. Anyway, yeah. So that store was 1989, I think September of 89 was when we opened it, and I was there for 2 years, and I asked Bob if he would buy me out, and he did.
So when
wash my hands with that.
Let's get back to the Breakaway band, because as I recall, there was Happy Landings, there was Unpaved Road, the next album, were you on the next album? I think you were.
Oh yeah.
And then the following album you weren't on.
The last album I was not on, because I left the band before that was recorded, and that was, I think, in we started in 88. It was 99 I left the band, and the year before I left the band, Andy Green left the band, and Paul Miller took his position. Paul is one of the best musicians in Vermont, for sure, I think.
And a really nice guy.
He's a great guy, and a great singer, and great guitarist, rhythm player. I don't know how much kind of lead stuff he's doing, but... he's just a really consummate musician. He can play drums. He can play bass really well. And so I left Breakaway before the last the fourth CD, and they got Taylor Armerding to play mandolin on that album.
So, if you don't mind me asking, why did you and Andy depart the band?
I don't know what Andy's reasons were. I guess he was just a little tired of it.
Yeah, kind of run its course.
And I guess I grew a little tired of it too. We were at the point where in the Breakaway story, we were, I think, the last summer, last year I played with Breakaway, I think we played in 10 states.
Wow.
And it was all, and I still worked At that time, I was working for a software company, which was the last working job I had, day job. As they call it, a day job.
What company was that?
I worked for a company called RealPage. Originally, it was called A&M Software. It was a local Williston company. Had about 35 employees. We made the... nobody wants to hear about this.
Let's stay to the music.
We can have a
sidebar?
Side conversation about this.
Got it.
So it was... I would always use up my vacation time because I would have to take Fridays off. We would go somewhere on a Friday. We'd leave on a Friday morning and, you know, get back Sunday night or sometimes Monday early or whatever. And it was, I don't know, I guess traveling like that, I'd never bring home a lot of money. It was kind of... Figured it wasn't worth the effort, I guess. And but I kept playing and loving the music and played with some other people. What came after Breakaway?
Banjo Dan. We were talking about you recorded with Banjo Dan.
I played with Banjo Dan many times. Starting when I first moved up to Vermont, I think the first time I sat in with that band was, I think I was still in playing with Shady Grove. Mike Yates and I both substituted for Banjo Dan's brother Will Linder. I'm good friends with both those guys. They're the best. They're wonderful guys. Willie was—he used to play with a band called the Good Old Boys, which was Frank Wakefield's band, and they—he lived out in California for a while when they were working out there a bunch. Anyway, I played with Banjo Dan a lot over the years, and even on a recording or two, because. Periodically, there was one period where Willie had to leave the band for a while. I don't remember exactly what the reason, what was going on.
Well, we'll have them on this podcast in the future, but yeah. We can ask them themselves. But I'm trying to think of the name of the CD or the project that you were on. That I love that CD.
A Banjo Dan CD?
Yeah, with Riley. Oh my God! The only thing I can think of is that song that starts "Coffee Black, Cigarettes, Start the Day Like All the Rest."
Yeah, that's a
one thing in the morning that I do is think of you.
Yeah.
So that was on that album.
I don't remember. I can't tell you what.
That's a great album.
It was. That song was written by a country singer who. Just died with this last year, I think.
It's a great song. It's a really great song.
I forget his name. old what's his name?
Old what's his name?
You know, what's his name? Who was the same guy who... yeah.
So from that point moving forward, I know personally that you've continued to perform and love the music.
In the mid-90s, the mid-aughts, Danny, I got together in a trio with
Stone
Danny
Cone and Thacker.
Gordon Stone. It was called Stone, Cone, and Thacker.
Sounds like a law group.
Sounds like a law, yeah. A law firm.
If you're injured, call Stone, Cone, and Thacker.
And we played, we worked up a bunch of nice material and played out a bit. Both Danny and Gordon were busy with their other bands, so it was like we didn't have a huge opportunity to play a lot of gigs except maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday night of any week.
Mm-hmm.
What am I forgetting about something. I might have to look at my notes. Except I don't think my notes went this far.
we have exceeded the history.
There's no more past.
There's no more past. We're closer to the present than we've ever been.
Bluegrass notes. Yeah, no, my notes went up to about 1985.
Well,
so this is only 20 years after that.
I would say in the middle aughts is when I met you.
Oh, well, we didn't meet. But
we
were playing together.
Yeah.
Of course. And of course, Robert.
Yes.
Bob DeGree. Bob hired me to play a gig about 2002 or three.
Three, I think. Yeah.
Up at that Swanton
Bluegrass Festival, yeah,
Elberg, like when it was like the first year of it, maybe.
Yeah, first or second year. Yeah.
Yeah, the little tiny rickety stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a Friday night, we're the only performer on the Friday night.
Yeah. And. So that was Bob DeGree in the Bluegrass Storm, and Bob had been doing that for some years already, and
we had a pretty good ensemble.
Adam wasn't there yet.
Yeah, I think it was Adam.
Oh, Adam was there.
Joe, Kirk, and me.
Flanagan was.
Russ was.
Russ Flanagan was playing fiddle the first time.
Yeah.
But I think the next time it was with
Joe.
Adam and Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good band, and those two young fellers, Joe Cleary and
Adam
Fremp are both great players, and We had a lot of good stuff, real solid stuff put together, and it was fun.
Yeah, it certainly was.
And then when there was a little pause in the band, and Adam and Joe were out of the picture, and then we hired Andy Bromage,
which was even more fun.
Yeah. Played banjo, wonderful tenor singer. He could truly sing a high tenor like in the bluegrass world range, a high tenor like Bob Osborne.
Yeah. Now Andy was from Connecticut here, then Connecticut, and then
Connecticut
back here, then back to Connecticut. That's where he's living now.
Well. We played. Oh no! I think you weren't there for some reason.
Right.
Andy Green played because we played at his hometown or something. Anyway, yeah.
Well, there's more. Andy played in several. When I say several, I think it's two or three other bands, and did recordings with them. During and after that period of time, with Mark Strusacker.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty recent history. Started a band with Mark, and we had been playing a lot at we were in the early days of the Skinny Pancake. Sunday gigs. We did a whole bunch of stuff there, many times, and usually with Danny Cohn on guitar or on banjo. If Mark was there,
he would play guitar. What was that band called?
You had a recording, right?
Well, that was later on. It became the Northern Flyer. But initially, I don't know. Oh, there was also the Lonesome Mountain Boys. I forgot about the Lonesome Mountain Boys, which was myself and Strusacker on guitar. Strusacker, Mark Strusacker, by the way, who no longer lives in this area and moved out to Wyoming about three, two or three years ago. He is a first-rate cross-picking guitarist. Can do really beautiful stuff, both fast, slow, any kind of, and a good singer. Has written a bunch of songs, good songs.
And there was an album, or did I hear you recorded something?
Yes, yeah. Well, a little later, somebody wanted to hire us, and Danny couldn't do it because it was on a his main band, the What's Their Names.
Danny's main band?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the
Rockabilly band?
Yeah, what's the name of that band?
See, I'm not the only one.
Oh, my God. And I'm the youngest one in this room.
The rhythm, Starline Rhythm Boys.
Starline Rhythm Boys, there
I
you go. Big Al.
Yeah. Starline Rhythm Boys, he was very busy, you know, working 150 gigs a year or something.
Amazing
like
man.
Yeah. And so anyway, we Strusacker and I got Andy Green, who I play guitar in Breakaway, to play a banjo, because he's a good banjo player, and Kirk Lord to play bass. And Kirk, of course, was the bass player in the Bob DeGries band and played with Bob for a long, long time. And a rock-solid bassist. And part of the amazing Lord family.
Yeah, Keith is pretty good.
And anyway, so we had a band called Northern Flyer, and we did a record, like an extended EP size record. I think there were five songs on it, and then Mark Strusacker retired from his day gig at WDEV radio station, and he and his wife moved out to the vicinity of Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And so I decided, well, I about had that, didn't want to go on, and because Mark and I had shared the vocalizing, that we, you know, mm-hmm. he sang lead on about on half, and I did the other half, and that's about it. I have on occasion in the last couple of years sitting in with a band called Southtown with Jim Carrier and Ed Sutton and Mark Gigliotti,
And the Storm is going to do a show that I've yet to tell you about.
The Bob DeGree is reviving the BS Storm, resuscitating.
Resuscitating, yes. I believe it's going to be August 20th. I got more details that I'll share later. Now, as a part of this whole thing, to kind of sum things up, first of all, I need to thank Tracy Lord for producing this whole thing. Yay, Tracy.
In his spacious and well-equipped studio.
True.
I'm not going to say where it is because...
it's a secret. I want to big-time thank Andy Sacker for sharing moments of his life. Some of it... very intimate, and I can honestly tell you that I learned some things from this that I never knew, and I've known you for well over 20 years. So thank you for sharing, and I know that everybody who gets the chance to listen to this will learn and appreciate what you have given us, us people in Vermont as far as music is concerned, and people who know you as a human being. I can't tell you. I would probably get emotional to go into all the things that Andy Sacker means to me. He's just one of the kindest, warmest, most thoughtful human beings that I've ever met in my 58 years of my life. And my life is better off that he entered it and is my friend.
Well, thank you, Bob. You're way too generous in your compliments, but
so let's lighten up and end this on a fun note. I have five questions for you, the kind of quick, speedy questions.
My favorite color?
What's your favorite food?
My favorite food?
Favorite food. Gotta be quick.
I like lots of food.
What's your favorite?
Shrimp and grits.
Shrimp and grits. If you were on a deserted island and you could only take one musical recording with you, what would it be?
Oh, my God.
What's the square root of 4,096?
I don't know. And my old mind can't think about that much, but I have been listening a lot. Because Anna, my wife Anna Blackmer, my wonderful wife, and there's a long story in that. She has an album, and I've been listening to it because I end up driving her car a lot, her little Honda Fit, which I call a Fitnik. The little Fitnik and the... So she has some CDs in there, and I've been listening a lot to an album called Bakersfield, and it's Vince Gill album, and he rotates songs, a Buck Owens song, a Merle Haggard song, Buck Owens, Haggard.
I think we talked about this earlier, yeah.
And they were both from Bakersfield, California, and it's Paul Franklin plays a pedal steel. This guy is God's gift to the pedal steel guitar, and Vince Gill is one of the best singers and also a great guitarist, and when he plays a number of guitar solos that will make you weep, they're so beautiful and perfect.
Yeah, people weep at my guitar solos for a whole completely different reason.
That's not true.
Okay, what is your biggest fear?
No, this is... I can't...
I can tell you what mine is, if that'll help.
I have dreams that, you know, where I'm naked and people are around me. You know, that's probably my biggest fear.
Really? Interesting. What is one thing in this world that always makes you smile?
Shrimp and grits.
I guess I still smile when I hear music that I really like.
That's great. If you had to do it all over again, would you change anything?
Well, let's see. There was that time in third grade. I remember in fifth grade, the day I wore my new pair of engineer's boots into the classroom, and the teacher said, "You are never going to wear those boots again in this room." You know what engineer boots are? You know what they are, the black motorcycle boots.
Oh,
yeah. Black leather. They're real clunky.
Yeah.
When you walk around with them, anyway, no, I don't know what I would change. I might have applied myself more when I was in school to some way of earning a bigger income than I ended up doing.
Any idea what that would be, though?
No.
No.
Well, I think education's loss is our gain, because what gifts that you don't have, you've overly made up with others that have been important to all of us.
Well, I love playing music, but it was always I always had to have room for playing music in the work kind of jobs that I did, a real money making job.
Right.
You don't have the time to go off and play
music,
play gigs, and that. I'm always comparing my life to that of my brother who's retired now. He's a lawyer. He was a lawyer, and
you know what? Somebody once told me, and this is really, I know exactly who told me. It was my brother Kenny, who has fought cancer, brain cancer, and has this means a whole lot more now than it did then. One day when I moved back here from New York City, and I was navigating my beginning of my appliance business and playing music, and I was talking to him about making a chessboard. I don't know why I was making a chessboard, but I was going to make a chessboard. And I said, it's really great that I have the time to do this. He said, you know what, Booger? And that's kind of the family nickname for me. He said, in this world, you either have money or time. Rarely do you have both. Ooh. And so, you know, the time that I do have and that you had to play music is a gift, and your creativity, again, this is not just based on you, but all of the people in your generation, your music created this stone rolling down the hill that just continued to gather little pieces of pebbles that made it bigger and bigger, and I'm really fortunate to be one of those pebbles that got to stick on the side of the rock, and because of that, this whole music community, which we'll get more and more into with Chasing the Past, you'll understand how this is all intertwined and how impactful it is, because I think sometimes we forget that the past really does influence the future. With that, thank you very much, Andy, and I look forward to seeing you down the road.